are inspired, encouraged, and led to a deeper walk with God with host Pastor Reverend Eugene Stevenson. New Jerusalem is located at 708 University Street in Alexandria. Service times are Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and Wednesday Bible study is at 5 p.m. New Beulah Baptist Church is located at 908 Carlos Street in Boyce, Louisiana, and service times are every second and fourth Sunday at 8:15 a.m. Until the next time, may God bless you and keep you is our prayer.
KAYT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.
Welcome to the Johnson Temple Church of God in Christ Saturday morning broadcast on KAYT. We're located on 200 Nona Street in Leesville, Louisiana. In today's broadcast, you will hear selections from the Johnson Temple Choir and an uplifting message from our pastor, Superintendent Maurice Johnson. Just before the broadcast, we'd like to announce the upcoming Alexander District Holy Convocation on the 20th, 22nd, and 23rd of June of 2023 at 7 p.m. nightly. The speaker on Tuesday night, June 20th, is Bishop James W. Proctor, the prelate of the historical Louisiana First Jurisdiction Church of God in Christ. The speaker on Thursday night, June the 22nd, is evangelist and national recording artist Rudy F. Terry, supervisor of the Women's Department for the historical Louisiana First Jurisdiction Church of God in Christ. The speaker on Friday, June 23rd, is Pastor Maurice Johnson, the superintendent of the Alexandria District. Everyone is welcome to come out and be a part of these great events at Johnson Temple. The pre-musical for the district meeting will be on June the 17th at 7 p.m. at the Bethesda Ministry, located on 140 Section Line Road, Leesville, Louisiana. May God bless and keep you is our prayer.
That's a really, really, really powerful, powerful word. that God has given us. Fear not. God is telling us not to be afraid. For I am with thee. He's reminding us that he's here with us right now. Be not dismayed. Don't be confused and don't get it confused. And he reminds us again, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. And at this point in time in my life, I need strength. And he said, yea, I will help thee. So God is telling me he's going to meet me where I am. And he's going to help me. Yea, I will uphold thee. Saint, he said it all right there. He's going to uphold me with the right hand of his righteousness. God is telling us that we're going to be okay. And if I had a topic today, my topic is fear not, for God is with me. My subtopic would be, if you're scared, call Jesus.
All right.
Tell your neighbor, I ain't scared. In that same chapter, that 13th and 14th verse reassured us for us that God is who he say he is. For I am the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand and say unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. In Isaiah chapter 43, he tells us again that he will meet all our needs and that he will be with us. How many know that God is with you? He's with you today. Yes. He's going to be with you tomorrow. Yes. He's going to be with you next week. He's going to be with you next month. Because you wouldn't be here if he was not with you. If you just think for a moment, how many of us have gotten ourselves into situations that we could not get out of on our own? Now, I know some of y'all saying, no, everything I've gotten myself into, I was able to get myself out of. The devil is a lie. You don't understand how my God works. You know, sometimes he allows us to pump ourselves up. And when you think you're in a situation and you got yourself out of it, God is allowing you to pump yourself up. But without a shadow of a doubt, you better believe that it was him, and it was him the whole time. The reason you was able to get out of whatever you got yourself into. Okay, I want you to tell your neighbor that it's happened to me. And turn to your other neighbor and say, I don't know how I got out of that. Have you ever asked yourself that question? How did I get out of that situation? When I know that I know that I know that it wasn't me.
Yes.
Saints, God is with us. But some of you may think it was something you did that got you out of your mess. I need to say that again. It was something that you did that got you out of your mess. The harder I tried, the worse it got. I was in a situation that I called on my mama. and my mama couldn't help me.
Yeah.
The only thing my mama could say is, son, pray about it. I called my brothers and sisters. And I explained the situation that I was in. The only thing that my brothers and sisters could say is, brother, pray about it. I called on my best friend. And you know how it went. The only thing that he could say is, pray about it. Now, keep in mind, everybody that I called on was Christians. They were God-fearing people. These were people that prayer warriors. These were people that prayed all the time. And the only thing that they could tell me is pray about it. Because they couldn't fix my situation.
Yeah.
They couldn't dig me out of the hole that I had dug myself into. But when I called on the name of Jesus, that's when things started to change.
Yes, sir.
But don't you know that the devil had me so confounded that I didn't go to my God first? I went to people that's here on earth with me, not realizing that they can't even handle their own situations, and I'm asking them to help me fix mine.
My God.
But if I would have started with Jesus,
yes,
he would have went ahead and started to fix the situation.
Yeah.
You know, I have a couple of points, and my point is, God does not fix situations that you think you can fix yourself. So when you have done all that you can, when you have called everybody that you could call, when you have reminded your friends, your brothers, your sister, your pastors, your elders, your missionary, your mothers, when you have called them and your situation still remains the same, I remember a song that an elder wrote, and he said, just stand.
Yeah.
And what he's telling us is to stand on the word of God.
Yes.
God just told us in Isaiah 41, verse 10, that he will fix our situations. That he will be with us when we need him. He just told us that. But sometimes, saints, we have to be reminded. Remember the children of Israel. They had to be reminded who God was. My second point. Being a Christian comes with the cost. If you don't know that by now, then you need to check with your workers. You need to check with your pastor. In order for Elder Johnson to be our pastor, that came with a cost.
Yeah.
That came with a cost. He had to miss many meals with his family.
Yeah.
He had to put thousands upon thousands of miles on his car.
Boy.
That's why Pastor don't drive no old raggedy car.
Oh, go ahead, preacher.
Because he got to get where the Lord tell him to be. He got to be there.
Man.
There's no excuses. He got to be there. You have to pay a price in order to reap the gift that God is giving us. Now, some of you think, well, I got saved 50 years ago. Okay. But what have you done in those 50 years? What work have you done? Being saved, there's work that has to be done. You can't be saved and come into church every time the doors open and all you do is just sit down. You ain't pleasing nobody. And don't you fool yourself, because right now it's time out for just letting saints think that they are saved and they ain't saved. There's things that we got to do as Christians. There are things that God has ordained us to do. You elders, when somebody call you that's hurting, that needs prayer, that needs this, when the pastor say, I need to go here, you got to make time for that. Yes. Because that's our mission.
Yes.
Our mission is to support the pastor. And I'm not talking about the elders and the missionaries. I'm talking about every person that's up under the sound of his voice.
Yes.
You got to make yourself available. And God, can you say God?
God.
And God will give you your attaboys, your pat on the back. He'll do it. You will pay a price following Jesus. Remember, a perfect example, a woman with the issue of blood. She paid a price. But Lord, when she found Jesus, when she was able to touch Jesus,
yeah,
when she was able to get to him, I think about Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10.
Yes.
We have to, Romans 12 tells us, to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And this is not always a physical fight. It can be a spiritual battle. This is not something that happened. This is not something that may happen all at once. It is something that can be very subtle. And you don't even know it's happening. I give an example. It start when you went to work one day and you went in a little early and you overheard a coworker talking bad about you. Now, you know, a lot of us can't deal with that. A lot of us wouldn't be able to handle that. And not only was the coworker talking to other coworkers, but they was also talking to your supervisor. But they did not know that you came in 10 minutes early that day. So when you walked in, you act as though you didn't hear what was just said about you. See, right at that point, I would be already clean. So you sit down at your desk. Now just think about this now. You sit down at your desk and you start to pray. You say something like, Jesus, I need you. I need you right now, Lord. Because with the temperament that people have today, when they hear somebody spreading their business or saying something that may or may not be true, you want to lay hands on them, and you ain't talking about no holding hands.
My God.
So to get back to my story, so later that day, your supervisor call you into the office and ask you about what was said. The conversation goes a little like, I need to talk to you about something that came to my attention. I hear that your kids are on drugs. I hear that your 16-year-old daughter is pregnant. I also heard that your husband left you and that you're behind on your house note. Now, is this true? But before you answer, said the supervisor, before you answer, keep in mind that these are situations that we cannot have at this job. If you're in a situation like that, you can't work here because you're too much of a liability. You're unstable. By that time, I'm sure your blood pressure reads about 1,000. Well, if your blood pressure get up to about 1,000, you know you're already dead, right? But you're trying to hold on. And you say to yourself, nobody but Jesus can help me at this point. Nobody but Jesus. Then your supervisor calls you into the office later on and tell you that I gave you a verbal counseling this morning. Now I'm going to have to write you up because we at this company have to protect ourselves. Okay, by lunchtime, you get a call from your bill collector. They're telling you that the check that you wrote last month for your rent has bounced. And this month's rent is due. And by the time you hang up the phone with them, the light company calls you in and tell you that your bill, your light bill is due. The mortgage company and the light company is ganging up on you. By 2:30, and this all happened before 2:30, your computer crashed, and you have been working on a project, a multi-million-dollar project. You have been working on it. You got it all in your computer. It's almost done. The deadline is in 2 days. And you feel a little confident about that. Then all of a sudden, lightning strike and your computer crash. My God, that's enough to drive a saved man insane.
My.
And that's at 2:30. At 3:00, you get a phone call from the principal of your school saying that your daughter have been skipping school for the past week. So all the grades are going to read F's. And then as you leave the office at 4:30, you look around and everybody, all your coworkers is looking at you all sideways. And you hear them saying things like, I wonder what his or her excuse is gonna be. I wonder, she must not be living right if she's going through all of this. And I thought she was a Christian. I thought God was supposed to protect them. So she must not be saved. On the way home, someone runs you off the road. So when they run you off the road, you're in a ditch and you're stuck now. So you got to call a tow truck for somebody to come and pull you out the ditch. And oh, by the way, the police come. And they see that you have ran off the road in a ditch. So the first thing they want to do is give you a field sobriety test. Make sure that you're not under any kind of drugs or any kind of anything that would influence your driving skills. So you finally able to get your truck pulled out the ditch. And you say to yourself, but God. God, I trust you.
Yes.
I trust you, Lord.
Yes.
So by now you make it home. And the husband that they thought ran out on you, meet you at the door. Don't even let you get in the house. Or that wife that they thought ran out on you, meet you at the door. They don't let you get in the house. And they want to know, why is it that the house note is behind? Why the lights are not on? They want to know what's going on. Where is all the money? This is before you get in the house. But saints, I come to tell you, this scenario that I just illustrated to you, it happens to people every day. It happens to saints every day. It's probably happening to you right now.
My Lord.
But I tell you that this is what happens when you don't give it to God and try to fix it yourself. My question is, when will you give it to God? When will you take God up on his promise?
Yeah.
When will you call him? Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, you got to give it to God. And being honest with yourself, how many people have had a day like this? When you felt as though that there's nothing else anybody can do to just push you over the edge. You feel as though your life is spiraling out of control. You have major problems, and there is no one on earth that can get you out of the problems and the situation that you have. There is no one but my God. Because there is nothing too hard for God.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us, fear not, for God is with you. Yes. Saints, give it all to him that loves you.
Yes.
This past year has been rough in the Thomas household. And I'll back it up. Not just a year. These last 6 months have been very difficult for the Thomas household. We have gone through some things that only people see on TV. We've gone through some things that you would not imagine us going through. We have had countless sleepless nights. We've gone through situations that will break the average person, that will run you crazy. But there's one thing I want you to keep in mind. We trust God.
Yeah.
When my life has been turned upside down, I would trust Jesus.
Yeah.
When you lie on me, I'm going to trust Jesus.
Yeah.
When I have sickness in my body, and sometimes I don't even feel like praying, I'm going to trust God and pray anyway.
Yeah, pray on.
When people tell you that you can't do something, I'm going to trust God when he tell me I can do it.
Yeah.
I trust God.
Yeah.
And I'll tell everybody that I'll trust him. When all you see is trouble, trust in the Lord. And you know why I trust in him? Because he first loved me.
Yeah.
While I was still in sin, he loved me. He pulled me up out of sin.
Yes.
And he brought me to a place of comfort. He brought me to a place where I can breathe. Because sometimes when you get caught up in your mess, you can't breathe. You can't stand.